Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. By the way, I mentioned to you that Bill Belichick is at the Pro Day for Alabama. In the power move of all power moves, he's standing in the middle of the field with his arms crossed like this. No, he has pants. Oh. Jim McBride tweets out a video. He's watching defensive end Isaiah Bugs' 40-yard. He's wearing an Alabama Crimson Tide sweatshirt.
Oh, of course he is. So he's got a few Alabama guys over the
there with a Alabama sweatshirt on.
Good buds with Nick.
Nick can
chop it up a little bit. That's good.
As you just heard during the award-winning Trending Now moments ago.
Thank you, Dale.
Mike Trout is the big story of the day from a sports perspective, and this $430 million total contract. It is not a $430 million extension. It is the total
starting
value.
For this season. Right.
Starting this year. It's actually a 10-year extension that begins in 2 years. But anyway, It is a 12-year, $430 million contract. And what you're getting is a lot of these cute little tweets now. Mike Trout's $430 million extension is equal to or worth more than the value of each of these eight NHL franchises.
Oh, boy.
So his contract is worth more than that.
So Trout could buy a hockey team?
Several of them.
Oh, okay.
Artie Moreno bought the Angels?
Yes.
He bought the team for $184 million.
Jeez.
And Mike Trout just signed a $430 million contract or is about to.
It doesn't make a ton of sense when you think about the landscape of all the sports and how, you know, ratings are kind of going down. You know, I know football was down 2 years ago, then back up this year. But just the idea that there are so many options out there and TV ratings aren't really what they used to be because there's so much going on. And out of all four major sports, it seems like baseball is the one that is most on the decline. And yet there's been three different $300 million deals given out this offseason. It's like, where on earth are they coming up with all of this money? So much for the game's in trouble. It's record-setting deal after record-setting deal.
So here's, just to put it in perspective, because Bryce Harper signed a $330 million contract with the Philadelphia Phillies, 3 weeks ago?
For 13 years.
Yeah. In Bryce Harper's career, this is his list of finishes in the MVP race. He finished 30th, did not qualify, first.
Right. Popped a first.
Did not qualify, 12th, did not qualify. Those are Bryce Harper's MVP finishes.
So one top 10 finish.
And it was a big one.
Years.
He won.
He won it, okay. But one top 10 in 7 years.
Here's Mike Trout's.
Oh, God.
First year, did not qualify.
Well, no, that wasn't even a year. I wouldn't count that because his first year, he won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
So the first year, throw that out, and then it's an even 7 years and 7 years for both guys.
So then you've got a DNQ, and then you've got second, first, fourth, and he only played in 114 games that year.
It's kind of he probably shouldn't have finished fourth, but he did.
And second.
Yeah. 7 years, top four all 7 years, top two for 6 years. Unbelievable. I mean, you can't be more consistent than him. I mean, you look back in the history recent history in baseball, and I want to say Albert Pujols had a run somewhat similar. A-Rod had a run kind of like that. But what Mike Trout has done is just off, like when he hit the ground at 20 years old, he wins Rookie of the Year and he finished second. One of the years, he lost out in the MVP because Miguel Cabrera hit for the Triple Crown, but Trout might have still had a better year. But people were so overwhelmed by the Triple Crown, you're like, well, I gotta vote for him here. But he has been right there every single year. There's nothing this guy can't do. I mean, like the five-tool player. Now, his team has never been very good. They've made the playoffs once, but certainly not his fault, not his problem. And so they lock him up, and he's going to play his entire career. Because if you had 12 more years, it's going to be 19, 20-year career all with the Angels.
So now the question becomes, from a Red Sox fan's perspective, what does this mean for Mookie Betts? He's the one left. I mean, you had Machado this offseason. You had Harper this offseason. You didn't even have to have Trout happen. He's got 2 years left under his contract.
Same with Arenado. We didn't think he was going to go. Thing.
So the numbers are out there. All the possible comps for Mookie Betts are now on the table. Because there ain't going to be anybody else coming along anytime soon who's going to approach these guys.
Yeah, so Mike Trout is very similar in the sense that he was under contract for this year and next year. So that's just like Mookie Betts. Trout was getting more money, though, because they already had come to a deal. So he was making $33 million or whatever, $34 million this year and next year. Betts is making $20 million, and it's his first big increase. But also, let's not get too lost in it. Trout is better than Betts. And that's why earlier I saw a tweet from Dan Roach, and I know he loves the Red Sox, and we all love the Red Sox, but he retweeted the Jeff Passan report about $430 million, and his response was, oh boy, like what does Betts get, $450, $475, $500? I was like, why? Why would he? Because they're on the Red Sox, and they'll overspend for people? Maybe. You know, look what they gave Carl Crawford. Look what they gave Hanley Ramirez and Ruznay Castillo and all these bad contracts that they've had in the past. Maybe. But he shouldn't get more money than Mike Trout. And maybe that's what he wants. Maybe that's the only way you could get him to sign.
And here's the point I've made about Mookie Betts is, and the Red Sox have been very clear that they would like to get something done with Mookie Betts. I'm sure they were also waiting to see what the comparables were. He was certainly waiting. He has 2 years left under his deal as well, just as Mike Trout does. Trout actually signed a 10-year extension that begins 2 years from now.
Yeah, right.
So,
but he's making 36, if you add it all together, like 36 yeah. a year.
So here's the thing from the Red Sox perspective. If they go to Mookie Betts today and say, we're going to put $400 million on the table, that's $70 million more than Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
It's $30 million less than Mike Trout, who is the best player in the
game. It's 100 more than Manny Machado.
Yeah, and so we're going to put $400 million on the table. If Mookie Betts or his representative at that point says, you know what, I'm just not interested. No, you know what, we're just going to wait. We're just going to get to the end of the deal and we'll go from there. Then you've got to trade him next offseason. Because if he does that, it's because he doesn't want to stay.
Yeah, and that, does he give you a number? So what if they counter that? They say no on the 400, but rather than just saying no, we want to be a free agent. Because then I'm with you. At that point, You just want to be gone. You want to go somewhere else. You obviously want the money. You want to set a new record or you want to do whatever, but you don't want to do it here. Then the question becomes, all right, you know, what does your team look like the following season? Because you don't want to let him, you can't let him walk away in 2 years
and
get nothing.
You get a fourth round compensatory
pick. You can't let that happen, but you also have to find a way to get fair value in return. But my question would be, what if Betts and his agent respond, if you give us 12 years, $431 million, just so it's $1 million more than Mike Trout, so he can say he has the biggest contract of all time, would you do that deal?
If I'm the Red Sox,
yes.
I would not.
I would not either. I would not.
I think I can look Mookie Betts in the eye and say, Mookie, there's only one player in baseball who we think is better than you.
Right.
And he just signed for $430 million total.
But we value you at $400, which, let's be honest, is a ton of money, which is so much money. We've never given out $400 million. If you're the Red Sox talking, we've never given that out before. We would like you to sign this, but getting up there to $36 million a year, I think the better comp is more like $33 million a year. And then you say, well, it's kind of semantics, but you got to sort of have a line somewhere. And if they're worried about the luxury tax and things now, you're talking about building your team going forward. You still have Price. You're hopefully giving a lot of money to Xander Bogaerts to keep him. Chris Sale's still up in the air. So if you can save a few million bucks a year on him, you're going to have to do that as well.
I also, as we pointed out, the Red Sox would at that point be looking at three players making north of $30 million a year.
Well, you're assuming they sign Sale.
Right. You've got Price already north of 30.
Right.
I think they're going to sign Sale north of 30. I think it's going to be closer to like 33 or 34. And you would then have Betts north of 30. And
with him, it would be forever, right? It would be one of these deals for 10, 12 years or whatever it would be.
The question, I guess, would become, because give credit where credit is due. In the Trout case, it is there are no opt-outs.
Yeah, just like Harper, no
opt-outs. And there is a complete no-trade clause. So he's saying, I'm going to be an Anaheim Angel, realistically, for the rest of my career. He'll be 38 at the end of the deal.
Right. And does Betts want to do
does
that?
Does Betts do that? Or does he want an opt-out after 2 years or an opt-out after 3 years?
And because the opt-outs, obviously the main reason for the opt-outs is for more money. But the other part of the opt-outs is, you know, like when Sabathia or A-Rod signed in New York, it's like, all right, well, what if things don't go well here in New York?
Yeah.
Or David Price in Boston. Like, all right, well, what if I really don't like it here? Maybe at least now I have a little bit more flexibility. But clearly Harper in Philly and Trout in L.A., they are content playing the rest of their careers in that city. And I don't know if Mookie Betts, we haven't really gotten any kind of clear distinction that that's what he would want to do.
If he's not interested in even talking, if you know what, I'm just going to get to the end. You know, you guys can jump right in. You know, when I'm a free agent,
I wouldn't. Does he have a team in mind?
I think or he's does he gone have, if that happens.
Does he have just an amount of money in mind, or does he have a team in mind? Because he's obviously, we don't know the answer to either one. He's been kind of vague. It's clear that he wants to make a lot of money, but who doesn't? But it's just, what is he really looking for? Like, would he, if the Red Sox and the Braves had the exact same offer on the table, would he go to Atlanta? Or if the Red Sox and the Yankees had the same offer, would he go there? Like, I can't really get a sense about him. Like, we talked about Isaiah Thomas earlier in the show. He's kind of the opposite. Like, Isaiah, you knew how he felt about Boston. It was very clear. Mookie Betts, you have no idea.
There has been some major news concerning Robert Kraft and the case in Florida. We'll give you the details when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keith.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dogs. All I need.
On WEEI.
So Andrew Beaton, writing in the Wall Street Journal, writes a piece today. The headline is, Florida prosecutors offer to drop charges against Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
Oh, there you go.
That'll get you to click on that,
okay,
baby.
What do you have?
But as I read this, I'm trying to figure out why he would accept the deal that prosecutors have reportedly offered.
All right, what's the deal?
Andrew Beaton writes, Florida prosecutors have offered to drop charges against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft and a number of other men charged with soliciting prostitution.
So it's not just a Kraft special. It's
no,
all these guys
it's
involved.
It's all
yeah,
these
right.
guys.
Okay.
According to a person familiar with the matter, but there is a catch.
I'm listening.
There's actually several catches.
Okay.
The proposed agreement calls for the men to admit they would have been proven guilty at trial.
What?
The proposed deferred prosecution agreement calls for completion of an education course about prostitution, completion of 100 hours of community service, screening for sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, that's probably just good to have anyway.
And payment of some court costs. But in an unusual provision, the agreement also calls for the defendants to review the evidence in the case and agree that if it were to go to trial, the state would be able to prove their guilt.
This is so screwy. I mean, but this is also, I don't think, unprecedented. Remember the staircase, the documentary that we saw that you spoiled the pants off of?
He was saying the same thing.
Oh, is that what you were saying?
That was the first thing I said.
It's the exact same thing. It's like you have to say you're guilty, but you won't get in trouble at all. Or like these weird things like that, that it's sort of like these workarounds. And so in this case,
well, in this
hey,
case,
we're going to drop the charges, but really,
you're going to get all the same punishment you'd get if you went to trial and we found you guilty.
The one thing I guess I would say is every time they would put up, you know, what Robert Kraft could be facing or all these other Johns could be facing, one of the lines in there was always up to a year in jail time or up to a year in prison,
which nobody was
nobody thought he would right, get but right. I guess that would be the one point that you would say is, so yeah, you have to do all these other things like the course and the community service, but we're taking jail time out of there. But Robert Kraft also didn't assemble the dream team of lawyers
no
to accept something like this.
As I read through this, and it's funny because the Beaton article says, and I'm quoting again, it isn't clear whether Mr. Kraft and others would accept such a condition. When the charges were announced, a spokesman for Kraft denied he engaged in illegal activity. So I'm just trying to picture now.
Yeah, why would you admit
why Robert Kraft would say, look, I've gone through the evidence.
Yeah, I poured through the evidence. What, by CSI?
If we go to trial, you got me.
I don't see him doing that.
And I'm going to accept all the punishments that you're going
to
give me.
Because you wouldn't need this group of lawyers to do that. You wouldn't. That's what you hired them. They're gonna fight this. And the other part is, we all think that the NFL is going to punish Robert Kraft no matter what the result is down in Florida.
Oh, they're going to.
But if he does it this way, they can look at it and say, you essentially admitted that you did it, right? Even though they're dropping the charges, but you're going through and you're saying that you have to say, if we were to go to trial, the state would have been able to prove guilt. So why on earth would he accept this? Now, if you're just Joe Schmo, or if you're Rich Keefe that got caught up in this,
right?
Maybe you would say, fine, whatever. I did it, didn't do it, whatever. I just don't want to go to jail, or you know, maybe you avoid even a bigger fine, whatever it might be. But if you're Robert Kraft, you're fighting this.
The technical term for what this would be called is called an Alford plea, A-L-F-O-R-D.
That's definitely from The Staircase.
An Alford plea, which is a guilty plea in court, whereby the defendant in a criminal case does not admit to the criminal act and asserts innocence. The defendant admits that the evidence presented by the prosecution would be likely to persuade a judge or jury to find the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
But what you can't do is, just based on my knowledge from this documentary, you can't go in there and say not guilty, because that's not what they're looking for. So you can't. That's not good enough.
No.
And so for some people, now, this is so much different than that. That guy was getting accused of murder.
Yeah, yeah.
And whereas this is like, well,
and was going away for life.
This is a little bit different. But I don't know. Maybe if Kraft thinks that the punishment by the league won't be as severe if he fights this and is actually found not guilty, whereas if he does this, whereas I think he shouldn't worry about that. The penalty is probably going to be very similar. Again, barring the video coming out, I think the penalty is going to be about the same.
Now, most of the time, if the offender, in this case, we'll say Robert Kraft for the sake of this argument, if he meets all the conditions, he goes to the classes, you know, he completes the community service, he does all that,
gets screened for sexually transmitted diseases,
then most of the time the charges are dropped anyway. But the difference here, this undercuts the whole thing where he said he didn't do anything illegal.
Right. Yeah, you should really go back. If you're going to say, if this is the agreement we're going to sign where he says that the state would be able to prove my guilt, well, then get rid of these community service hours and get rid of the education courses about prostitution and all this other stuff. You'd want to throw that out. You'd think it'd be sort of one or the other. But maybe this is what they're starting with, and maybe this is, again, why you have your high-paid attorneys have them do their job and get out of this.
I mean, I understand what an Alford plea is,
but
this seems different in that, and even the Wall Street Journal says this is an unusual provision,
mm-hmm,
where they are saying that the defendants have to review the evidence in the case and agree that if it were to go to trial, the state would be able to prove their guilt.
Man, what a difference a few weeks makes. It was a human trafficking sting, and now human trafficking is gone from this story. And now these Johns might not even be, they might not even be able to get all of them if they're trying to get this offer to get them to drop the charges, yet admit guilt. But maybe they're not so confident in their case anymore.
I mean, obviously, if you go to trial, if Robert Kraft goes to trial, the single greatest fear he has to have is that the video is shown.
Yeah, the video is shown.
Now,
and also, there's just more of
this.
It. Yeah.
If he accepts this, does he get some assurance that, no, the video's never going out?
I don't know if you can get that assurance. Now, maybe they won't release it, but can you ever be sure? If that tape exists in this day and age, how can you possibly be sure that it's not going to get out at some point? So I don't even know if that's a deal worth taking. But I wonder if part of this agreement, too, is, you know, less time in court and that whole thing and walking in and out of there and having all the cameras on you.
And if you're remembering now, he's due in court next Thursday, a week from Thursday.
Oh, that's right. The Red Sox opener.
Big day in Boston sports. That's when he's supposed to be in court for his arraignment. It just seems weird. And
there's no way he accepts this, right?
Well, maybe. If he gets some assurance that, you know what, the tape's never coming out,
then he's going to be suspended maybe for the whole season. I think the league's going to come down hard on him anyway. And now if you do this, it's sort of one of these, all right, so you're still doing the community service. You still got to do all this other stuff. You're basically telling everybody that the state would have been able to prove you guilty. So that's, again, the league doesn't even need all of that to punish you. But then if they do, if you admit to it, I think that's going to be pretty severe.
This Wall Street Journal story also quotes a guy by the name of David Weinstein, a Miami lawyer, former prosecutor in the Southern District of Florida. He says, and I'm quoting now, "I think Kraft's biggest problem is going to be NFL management. Their standards are far lower than proof beyond a reasonable doubt."
Yeah.
And
I agree with that. They're going to be all over them for this. And this is just a bad distraction by the league. And this is not something that the owners are going to be happy with. Although I think a lot of the owners might want to be a little careful talking to Roger Goodell and kind of leaning on him, because all of a sudden they can quickly turn around. I'm guessing the 32 owners around the league aren't the cleanest guys in the world.
You'll remember that the league hasn't said much about this case, but what they did say was that the league's personal conduct policy applies equally to everyone. The league also said it would, quote, take appropriate action as warranted based on the facts. So under this deal that's supposedly been offered to Robert Kraft and the other men who have been charged, they would have to say, look, we've reviewed the evidence. You'd be able to prove I'm guilty.
Right. I just don't think this.
So I'm telling the NFL I'm guilty. I did this. The NFL's going to hammer him.
It doesn't seem like a great deal. Right, I'm not surprised that the Florida prosecutors are coming up with some sort of a deal just to try to, you know, tie this thing up, but I don't think this looks like a great deal for Robert Kraft, who, based on the one statement we got from his spokesman really early on, less than an hour after it was released there by TMZ, based on that and all of the hirings of lawyers, there's no way you look at this and say, yeah, that's good enough. Like, no, I have a feeling, whether it's right or wrong, that he really wants to fight this thing.
Now, as I understand it, this is not an unusual occurrence in these misdemeanor-type mm-hmm. things. You know, this sort of deal, although, you know, the Wall Street Journal is certainly trying to make this, you know, again, clickbait. Headline, Florida prosecutors offer to drop charges against Patriots owner Robert Kraft, ignoring all the other guys who have been charged. I understand that this is a fairly common occurrence in these misdemeanor cases. As we said, it's called an Alford plea in some places. You plead that if we go to trial, you're going to be found guilty, but you don't have to plead guilty.
No, but this also speeds things up as far as a potential ruling by the league, finally, because the league is just waiting to see what happens here before they announce
if he accepts this?
Yeah, I think if he accepts this, isn't that kind of case closed as far as he's concerned? Like, what more are you waiting on at that point? I think then you'd get their decision probably pretty soon.
I would guess that would probably be right.
You know, and then that way, and again, penalizing an owner is just silly anyway. Like, what does it really matter? But it'd probably be a number of games. They can only fine them a certain amount of money anyway, which you'd assume it would be the most on that. They can't take away draft picks. They can't really affect the team on the field, but at least just to get that whole thing out of the way. You know, the longer this goes on, the longer that's kind of keep popping up here and there, and there's going to be updates to the story, and then his name is in the news for the wrong reasons.
But that's the latest from the Wall Street Journal. An offer to Robert Kraft and the other men who've been charged. Whether or not they'll accept this offer, I can't answer
you. I would say no.
It seems that it would be counterproductive for him, but maybe there's a reason. And look, the single biggest reason is, does this mean the tapes never get out, Your Honor?
Yeah. Those things are coming out.
I don't think so.
I think so. They're going to be out. Ross is going to be watching it on his phone in no time.
Oh, God, no.
You're the one who offered to
watch. Oh, that's right. That was
on
me.
Behalf
I'll do
of
it.
All
for
of
the
us.
Show, fine.
You
for
were the
show,
guy who
at
offered
9:45,
to.
We'll all get together before the show, pop the video on,
live stream our reaction.
Good.
It's 14 minutes, so we know that we can get it. That'd be fine.
What else you got coming up next? Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I mean, the committee has done, like you said, a great job. If you look toward the quad system and the net, yes. But I think there's sometimes a little more judgment has to enter the picture. And I think it's unfair for the little guy when we get 5% of the at-large birds for them. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's proper. And I will go to my grave screaming at, yelling at, and believing that, because the little guy gets shoved in the corner. 28 wins mean nothing. Mediocrity is always rewarded, it seems, over greatness. End of story. I'm done about it.
Wow. Calm down.
Honestly, like, Dickie V every single year does the thing where he's so upset about the 65th team that didn't get in, instead of the 64th team and the 68th team, and he's mad about, oh, small conference or big conference. He always has a gripe, and he's so mad about it. And yet, did you see? So they all have, you know, each analyst up there, they do, like, immediate reactions, and they say who's going to the Final Four and, like, all that stuff. Did you see what his Elite Eight was?
All the ones and twos?
All the ones and twos.
Funny how that works.
All the ones and twos.
Shoved in the corner.
You don't like the little guy either. You're picking all the ones and twos in the entire bracket. No upsets. He's going one and two. So he hates the committee, and yet it's chalk the whole way. So what is he even talking? What is he mad about? And that's also so dumb. Like, I get mad. Like, yeah, if your school got snubbed, fine. You can be upset about your school. You're like, I thought we deserved to be there. 68 freaking teams make it. So if your team was on the bubble, too bad. You should have been better. Should have won more games. Schedule a harder non-conference or win more games. Whatever it is, that is kind of dumb. It's
or
not
beat
like
Clemson and go to the NIT.
Yeah, it's not like the college football. You have much more of a gripe there. Only four teams, like, that's nothing. But 68 teams, like, you should be safely in the tournament if you think you have a chance of winning it.
One quick Patriots note. Multiple sources, including Mike Reese, say the Patriots have reached a one-year agreement with punter Ryan Allen.
This is
all right.
Breaking news.
Allen's back, baby.
I don't think I presented it quite that way. Look, he was a terrific player for the Patriots. He was very, very good at his job. Belichick loves those left-footed punters, and he was a field position beast.
Yeah, he was good. So now it's just, is Gostkowski going to be back?
I think he's running out of places to sign.
Probably.
My guess
is the Patriots are trying to make room, probably financially. They got to find a way to.
Well, right now they don't have a lot of money.
No, they don't.
You know, they are going to have to move some things around.
Ryan Allen playing for free this year, maybe?
Yeah, probably. What,
give him 1 year pro bono?
Not a gigantic contract.
He's probably going to be okay.
All right, let's get to a couple of other things here real quickly.
What else you got?
Go ahead,
Dale. Dale, I will go first. So one of my favorite things is how bad John Elway is at identifying quarterbacks.
Not again.
One of the great quarterbacks of all time. He really is. He was a great player. But he cannot pick quarterbacks. He lucked into Peyton Manning coming off of a neck surgery, so you got to give him that. He did win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. But since then, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, and now a new guy who he has a lot of faith in, that would be Joe Flacco.
Well, John, you can now say the name Joe Flacco, and you could acknowledge that you have a new quarterback. Why did you make the change?
You know, we just felt Joe was a good fit for us. We really feel like Joe has a lot of football left in him, and Gary is with him 3 or 4 years ago in Baltimore and in the system, and was very successful with that. So, you know, we thought that with Joe, with the availability and what the compensation was, that Joe was going to be a very good fit for us. You know, he's played under the center, and his arm strength is still great. He can still throw the ball downfield, and, you know, he's a guy that's won. Mm-hmm. He's proven he can win in this league and has a tremendous amount of experience. And so, you know, at 34 years old, thought he was just going into his prime, and so we're excited that Joe's here.
So now Joe Flacco is just going into his prime. He just got benched for Lamar Jackson last year. The Ravens drafted a quarterback in the first round, and now you're acquiring Joe Flacco, who's in his prime. He's like, yeah, he's won. Yeah, how many years ago was that?
It was a while ago.
Jeez.
Had a heck of a playoff run that year.
He did. He was like unconscious that playoff run.
It was
so
really good, but
that is terrible. Isn't Flacco worse than Case Keenum? I'd rather just keep Case Keenum than get Joe Flacco.
You might be right with that one, actually. But John Elway knows more about the quarterback
position. I know, he played it at the highest level.
You
do. I know, good point.
What else you got?
So we've told you about this Twitter site called Boston Sports Info. They do really good statistical breakdowns. So what they've done is they've looked at the Patriots' home games this year. They've looked at the 8 opponents that the Patriots will be hosting.
Okay.
And they've broken down Tom Brady's career record at home against the opponents that the Patriots will play here. Like, they play the Cleveland Browns. He's 4-0 lifetime against them.
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
They play the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's 4-0 lifetime against them. At home. They play the Dallas Cowboys. He's 2-0 lifetime against them.
Oh, boy. I'm noticing a trend here.
Buffalo Bills, 15-1. Miami Dolphins, 15-1. New York Jets, 14-2. Kansas City Chiefs, 4-1.
Oh, boy.
The New York Giants, 1-1. What that means is he's played against these teams 65 times here at Gillette Stadium. He's 59-6.
Oh, my God.
Lifetime.
That's
a
ridiculous.
908 winning percentage.
Insane.
I mean, think, you know, we were talking about which teams are likely to be, you know, Super Bowl favorites or at least AFC championship favorites.
Yeah.
Look at the record Tom Brady has put up at home against the teams that he's going to face at home this year.
Who is he going to face week one? Because they've been going back. They
haven't
made a
decision here.
Cleveland
makes so much sense, but it just...
Cleveland makes the most sense. It should be Cleveland. That's the hot team. First of all, the Patriots should be playing that opening night. I don't really care that much. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever, but the Super Bowl champ always plays opening night. They're not. They're moving them to Sunday night to start the year. Cleveland's probably the best matchup. Is Kansas City, you said, is at home too? Or Kansas City?
Yeah.
Either one of those teams makes a lot of sense. So the league will probably go with the Giants or the Jets.
I got hockey tonight, and David Pastrnak will play.
Good.
The return of Pastrnak. Short of something happening in warm-ups tonight.
Sourced? Is it sourced?
Yes, I have sources. Thank you.
There you go.
David Pastrnak will play tonight. We'll be on Nesson, you know, beginning at about 6 o'clock.
Very good.
We will be back tomorrow. OMF is coming up next after we say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.